You know, over the last several weeks, we've been looking at all the different categories of Psalms, and today we're looking at complaint. We're almost finished with somewhere in the Psalms, and today we're going to talk about complaints. Matter of fact, I found a list of the top five things that we complain about. So let's see if this list strikes a chord with you, okay? Here's number five. Number five is neighbors. Anybody have any neighbors that they complain about? Hey, you live beside me. Why are you raising your hand? Right? Okay, that was number five. Number four thing that people complain about is family. Anybody have any family they complain about? You know, husbands about their wives. You know, Proverbs 21:19, have you ever read it? It's better to live in a desert than with a contentious and a complaining wife. How about it, man? Raise your hand. Okay. Oh, no, shh. Hey, ladies, but right? A contentious man is no better, right? How about it? For sure. We complain about family. Number three, work. Now, I'm not raising my hand. Anybody complain about work? Yeah, lots of people complain about work. Number two, weather. Matter of fact, somebody here this morning, I wouldn't dare tell you who it was, you know them, but I overheard them say, you know, oh my gosh, it's so cold. I wish they'd have had the complaint zapper on when they said that. You know, people complain about the weather. You know what the number one thing people complain about? The government. Yep, anybody here complain about the government? You know, yeah, really. We have a lot of things that we complain about in life. And that's what Psalm 120 is all about. It's a psalm of complaint. You know, I've told you before, you know, I was raised, I had five sisters. And I used to complain a lot when I was a kid about having five older sisters. Matter of fact, I was terrible because I used to say to my sisters that I was looking forward to heaven because I knew what hell was like. Now, I don't recommend that, but I'm just confessing to you. I used to be awful, you know, complaining about being raised with five older sisters. I mean, the hand-me-downs were awful, okay? There was a lot that you could complain about. But here's the thing, folks. Here's this psalm, Psalm 120. It's known as a psalm of complaint or as a psalm of ascent. Now think about this for a moment because when you study what this means, a psalm of ascent is a psalm or a song that the people of God, the Hebrews, the Israelites, that they would recite or sing as they were marching or walking up the hill to Jerusalem during one of the festival days throughout the year. You know, one commentator said that Jerusalem would have between 2 and 3 million people who would visit the holy city. And as they would come up the hill to Jerusalem, Jerusalem was up on a hill, that they would sing these different psalms of ascent. And this was one of the psalms that they would sing or declare as they marched up to Jerusalem. Now, I find it interesting here that here you have this group of people, God's people, okay? And they're marching up to the holy city to remember God and the things that God had done for them, you know, bringing them up out of Egypt and giving them the holy land and all these different things. And as they did this, that they would find themselves complaining to God. So let me give the psalm to you. Here it is. Look at this. This is such a neat passage. It says, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to Him, and He answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will He increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. How I suffer in far off Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Kedar. Look at the way he ends it. He says, I am tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. So let's pretend we're the nation of Israel, and let's all stand and sing this wonderful song together. a song of ascent, but it was a song of complaint, of them talking to God. Now, before I get into this text, let me just give you a little bit of a history lesson. One of the things I love about our church, you know, the Christian Church, Independent Church of Christ, Christian Church, is that we have several slogans way back in the beginning of our movement, back in the early 1800s. And let me share a couple of them with you. One of the slogans that was adopted and was spoken a lot by our ancestors, that they said that they wanted to do Bible things in Bible ways. And what that meant was is that they really wanted to have an example in Scripture of the things that they did and how they did them. Another slogan that they adopted was this one: where the Scriptures speak, we speak. And where the Scriptures are silent, we are silent. Interesting slogan. Another slogan that they had was that we need to know that the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. Another one was, in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; but in all things, love. And see, the thing that all of those have in common is that our history is built around this beautiful premise, this wonderful commitment, that the Word of God is what we build our faith and our practice around. And who would have ever thought that the Bible can teach us how to complain? But here's the thing. Most of you guys don't need to be taught how to complain. I mean, I don't need to be taught how to complain. I mean, just get me by myself and ask me, right? We don't need any help of knowing how to complain. I'm an expert at complaining, and you are too. But you know what we do need some help with? Is how to complain in such a way that it's not a sin. Or to complain in the same way here that David teaches us from Psalm 120. So permit me, if you will, for the next several minutes to share with you what I think is David's teaching us about how to complain in a way that's beneficial, and yes, even godly. Okay, here you go. Let me give it to you. Here's the first one. He said, I took my troubles to the Lord. I took my troubles to the Lord. Let's say that together. David said, I took my troubles to the Lord. That's the first thing. The first thing in the idea about how to complain in the same way that David teaches us here is that we take our troubles to the Lord. And most of the time when we complain, it's not to God. It's to somebody else. It's to someone that we are upset with. You know, it's someone that we feel has wronged us. And we share our opinion maybe with other people about someone else. And listen, folks, here's the first thing. Here's the first thing that would transform me and you if we would just believe this and understand this and commit our lives to doing this. You got a problem with somebody? Talk to God about it. First and foremost, talk to God about it. I'm not saying don't talk to that person about it, but don't talk to a third person about it. Complain to God. You know, I had a friend on Facebook a couple years ago, and I unfriended him. You know, I unfriended him. And let me tell you why. Because I would get on there, and this actually happened. One time I was out with Arlene, and we were celebrating something, our anniversary, and I put something on Facebook, and it was a picture of Arlene and I. And I said, you know, I'm just enjoying the evening with my wonderful wife of 33 years. And he put on there, how in the world did she ever put up with you for that long? You know, one time I put a picture of my kids on there, and I said, I'm so proud of who my kids have become. And this friend posted on there, he wrote on there, that's because they're nothing like their daddy. It was just pick on and on. Every positive was met with a negative, and he just went on and on and on and on. And finally, I just unfriended him. It was like, bang, unfriend, you are gone. And then I sent him a private message, and I said, you know what? I never liked you anyway. No, I didn't do that. But you know what? I wanted to because, listen, this kind of thinking, David said, and he had a lot of things that he could complain about. We're going to talk about a couple of them here in just a minute. But the first thing that David teaches us is take our troubles to the Lord. Here's the second thing. He says in the second verse, he says, rescue me. Now listen, folks, don't overlook this, because what David is saying is that first and foremost, God, what I want to come out of this complaint is I want you to take me to a better place. You see, most of the time when we complain, it's to tear people down. It's to point out the negatives in life. It's to take that jab at someone or something or some family member. But David, when he's walking up to Jerusalem and he's singing this song of ascent and he's pouring out his heart and complaining to God, first and foremost, he's saying, God, I want you to rescue me. Look at this. From what? From liars and from deceitful people. Let me give you another good piece of advice. When people complain about you, don't join in and become what you hate about them. You see, David here, he says, Lord, rescue me, deliver me from liars and from deceitful people. And really what he's saying is that, God, I don't want to become like that. Because the Bible teaches over and over again that when we allow a bitter root, when we allow a resentment to fester, instead of God picking us up out of that and bringing us above that and making us better than all that, what we end up doing is becoming the very thing that we despise. Look at the next thing he says here. He says, what will God do to you? You know, these liars and these deceitful people. He says, what will God do to you? You know what I think the teaching of that is? That's God's job. You see, a lot of times what we do with our complaints is we try to take retribution out of the hands of God and deliver it ourselves. We try to give other people what we think that they deserve. And what David said, even though he was surrounded by liars and deceitful people, that people that wanted even to do him harm, it was beautiful because David said, you know, I'm going to leave that to God. I read an interesting article a couple of years ago. And the article was entitled, Will You Be Surprised About Who's in Heaven? And it was an article that detailed two or three notorious criminals who supposedly found Christ after they were convicted and sent to prison. And one of them was Jeffrey Dahmer. You remember him? This mass murderer that killed a number of different people, young people, mutilated their bodies. Even was convicted of cannibalism with some of these. I mean, he saved many of their body parts. I mean, I don't know about you, but, somebody like that, do they have a chance of going to heaven? Well, this article was simply about, you know, when you get there, if you see some of these people, how are you going to feel? I mean, do you think anybody's going to get to heaven and they're going to start some kind of petition because, you know what, I don't want to live next door to Jeffrey Dahmer, even if it's in heaven, right? I mean, will you be surprised who's there? I had a conversation with a friend not too long ago, and we got in this conversation about people being saved and about salvation and who gets to heaven. And it finally got to the point where I said to this person, I said, you know what? Listen, that's in God's hands. You know, I'm not the one that's going, God's not going to ask me to stand beside the pearly gates at heaven and say, you know what, John, if you'd just let me know who needs to come in and who doesn't. No. You know, that's God's job. You know, is Jeffrey Dahmer going to be there? That's not me to judge. It's not you to judge. That's God's job. And David here seems to say, I'm going to let God do that. And even in my complaint of what's going on in my life, I'm going to recognize that it's God's job to offer retribution. Even things like sharp arrows or glowing coals heaped upon someone. That's pretty bad. But David said, you know what? That's up to God. Make sure that your complaint about what's wrong really is about what God can do and will do and should do. Now, David even gives us an example of this. Notice here that he mentions two places. He mentions a place called Meshech and a place called Kedar. If you look these places up, they were two places that were notorious in their opposition to the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. These people were noted because of their hatred for King David. So here David mentions these two places in particular. And he's talking about what he suffers afar off. See, that's a lot of times what our complaints are. Our complaints are about what we perceive people are doing or saying about us or doing against us. And here David is talking about these two places, and you know, he's saying that, you know, I suffer far off in Meshech. And it pains me even to think about being in this other place. Now I thought it was really interesting today that Mike gave the communion meditation, and I'm sure Mike will remember sharing this with me. But last year, Mike and the CSF team here in Altoona, they manned a concession booth at Beaver Stadium for one of the home games of Penn State football. And I don't even know it, Mike. I'm sure you've heard him say. He was born and raised in Ohio. And he actually wore an Ohio jersey to work in the concession stand at Penn State. I said, dude, are you crazy? It's like, man, I would be afraid for my life if I would do such a thing. That's kind of what David's talking about here. He's perceiving how people in this place would treat him, what they would say to him, or what they would say about him, or what they would do to him if they had opportunity to. And David, he's just another part of that. He said, you know what? I'm going to leave that to God. I'm going to leave how people treat me to God. And then look at the final thing here, and it puts this all together. He says, I search for peace. I mean, even in my complaints to God, I'm giving this all to God, and what I want is peace, even though what they want is war. Right? You see, folks, here's how you complain. God, listen, I know how this person feels, but God, please, give me the desire to want something different. You know, for example, if you were to leave this place today, and walk into the person that you have the most difficult time with in your life. If you marched into a restaurant or whatever, and you walked right up to them, against them, almost bumped into them, what would you do? I think what David is saying here is that I would be gracious. I mean, isn't this the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not as they will do to you, or as you think they will do to you, or how they think about you, but how you would want them to be to you. That's what David is saying. I'm going to be a man of peace. And you know what? There was all kinds of times in David's life where this actually played out. In the life of Saul, in the life of a man called Mephibosheth, who had hurled stones at King David. And David said, you know, do good to him. You know, there's all kinds of other examples in the Bible of this. You know, you got Saul who's in prison, you know, wrongly imprisoned, and he's able to praise God. Why? Because, listen, I might be being mistreated, but I'm going to leave retribution to God. As far as it is with me, I'm going to be a man of peace. Joseph in the Old Testament, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He finds himself falsely imprisoned in Egypt, and he says later, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. That's what David is saying here. And let me tell you something, folks. That is the way that we should live our lives each and every day. But a lot of times, instead of that, we just post on Facebook. You know, I kind of think that some people think that Facebook is like a drive-by shooting. You know, just a chance to drive by and just to toss a grenade or to toss a rock through a window and then just keep going. You know, I hope this is a kind of a funny illustration. It might shock you a little bit, but it was actually true. I don't know, about a year ago, I got on our church Facebook page, and someone had gotten on there and had put this comment that you should not send your teenagers to this church because all they talk about is masturbation. How about it? I called Mike and Angela immediately, and they're like, what? And I'm like, what is this? You know? And they're like, John, we haven't done it at all. You know? And of course, you know, we brought Alex on, and he thought it was funny in staff meeting the other day, then said he was going to put together a 10 or 12 week study on just that. Watch it, buddy. But isn't that the way people are? You know, it's just somebody wanting to toss a rock or toss a stone. And let me tell you something, folks. I love Facebook, and I love the positive things about Facebook, but there is a huge negative there, and this is it. Where people just feel free to comment and to complain and to throw out negative things there, whether it's true or not. And I've seen a lot of times, and there's been some of our wonderful folks here that have posted something on Facebook, and I've checked it out, and it's been totally wrong. It's been like fabricated. It's not, you know, it's just not true. And you know, people are like, this doesn't seem to matter. It does matter. And a long time ago here, I think David teaches us that, you know what, instead of Facebook, we need to put our face in a different book. And look at the Word of God in a light where we can understand that it teaches us so many things about life and about Christianity and about being faithful to God. But it will also teach us things like this, of how to complain and for positive things to come out of that complaint. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining. Do everything without complaining. And you know what? I dare say that that's probably one of the verses that we fail at being true to more than any other. Do everything without complaining. Because I think what David does here is that he complains in such a way that he's not complaining. Because when you're talking to God about it and you're asking God's help with this particular matter in life, That's when God can do something wonderful in your heart and in your life. But when our complaints are nothing more than words spoken to other people, to tear other people down, there's nothing positive that can come out of that. So let's talk to God about it and make sure that our complaints begin and stop with Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what an awesome song, Lord, that your people sang as they marched up to be in your presence. So God, I pray that today that this would be a song that we sing. And that our desire, Lord, would be, as David describes here, a person, Lord, that shares even our complaints with God above. With the desire, Lord, and the thought of giving them to you before we ever talk about them to anyone else. And that how, Lord, our cry is that you will rescue us out of this terrible situation. And that, Lord, we will recognize that it's your job to shoot the arrows and to heap the coals upon the heads of people that have hurt us. And that, Lord, it's our job. Even, Lord, when we're confronted as David was with these two places that opposed him greater than any others, that our job is to be a man or a woman of peace wherever possible. And that, Lord, even in our complaints, that they would not be complaints, because they're not with other people, but they're with you. So, Father, bless us with the strength to be that kind of person. In Jesus' holy name, amen.